Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Real people,
real celebrities,
real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday
ear.
Morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Well, Charlamagne's not here right now.
Okay, but we still represent for Charlamagne. We are the Breakfast Club. We have a special guest with us this morning, Michelle.
Hi.
Something in my heart.
All right.
Something in my heart.
You're going to make her get up and leave.
Oh, no.
This sounds terrible.
I used to love that song. Well, good morning.
You used to? It still plays.
I haven't heard that song play in a long time.
You don't have Pandora then.
You don't, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You are on R&B Divas.
L.A.
Yes, L.A.
L.A. Now, first thing we got to talk about, your voice has always been like that?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, I saw an interview that
well, I don't know from birth because I couldn't talk.
Okay.
But
when you was a kid, I mean.
When I was a kid, I didn't talk for probably the first 3 or 4 years. I just nodded my head. And so then when I did, I was really shy. And I just talked really soft. And then as I got older, you know, I got a lot bigger.
Now, with your voice, is it a problem or that's just your voice? No, I mean, because it's light.
Envy is just
this is the 200th time. Yeah. No, it's I just talk over my larynx, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
well,
it
really does work for you, though, because I think it's important to have a distinctive voice. Obviously, people hear you. They know it's you. And you said you've been getting voiceover work, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm signed to an agency, so it's awesome.
You could play a hell of a cartoon.
I want to be a bear.
A bear? All right, so I got to hear this. How would a bear, all right, so be a, do a bear voice, do a scene, action.
I'm the bear. She would talk like me.
I'm Elmo, and you be the bear. Okay.
All right, well, listen, let's pretend that...
You're going to be Elmo.
Pretend that you are the mother bear and your son, Envy Bear, is gay. He just came out. What would you say to him?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I would ask you, it's okay to be different.
It's Envy Bear, respond.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mommy. Thank you.
Everything he does sounds like
everything,
Elmo.
Everything he does goes up an octave.
Yeah. He always sounds like Elmo for some reason.
My goodness. All right. So let's start from the beginning. So you are Michelle. You are an artist from Compton, California.
I'm from South Central.
South Central.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first time we heard from you, of course, was Something in My Heart, was a single that you were Dr. Dre produced.
That's not the first time.
That's the first time I heard of you.
Really?
Yes. I'm from New York.
Where have you been?
I'm sorry.
No, actually, the first song Dre produced on me was Turn Off the Lights, but that was his group. Remember the World Class Wrecking Crew?
Mm-hmm. Yes. When he had
The glitter.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you guys dating at that point, or was it from working together that you established the relationship?
Well, that's when I first met him. Mm-hmm. I knew Alonzo first. I met Alonzo. And the Mona Lisa was their lead singer, and she couldn't make it that night. So Alonzo called me and said, hey, could you come and do this song? And I went to the studio, and he handed me a piece of paper, and I went in with my own melody and everything, did it in one take, and that was Dre and Yellow was in there, and I said hello and goodbye.
And then you heard it on the radio, and you said... Hey.
And my father said, I think that's you, and I was like, it is, because I'm catching three buses. And I didn't know. He didn't say anything. Lonzo just put it out, but I had no rights. I wasn't even in the group.
So did you sign anything, like, to release? Nothing.
I didn't know any better. I was 16.
So you still dated Dr. Dre, even with all that glitter on he had?
Well, I didn't even know about World Class Wrecking Crew. I didn't know.
Okay.
You just sang what they told you to sing.
Yeah, I came in, and then I found out that what they did and started listening to their stuff.
So at first they were more of a softer group. World Class Wrecking Crew wasn't NWA. They were totally two different sides.
Okay. World Class Wrecking Crew is more like androgynous. Mm-hmm. That's a good word, right? Mm-hmm. Because they loved Prince. So if you go back, that's really what Prince was like.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So that's, I think, where a lot of it
came from. Oh, androgynous?
Yeah, like, okay. Androgynous. You know.
So they love Prince. You could tell.
The whole style was kind of the hair. Everything was Prince-ish. It was Prince-ish.
So then they met you, and then they went to NWA. Niggas with attitude.
You know, I don't know what I do to men. I wasn't dating him at that point. I really didn't start until, it was months later. Mm-hmm. Before we were.
But did you used to see a lot of things like other girls in the studio? Did that make you feel like, I don't know if I could date a guy in the industry?
Yeah, I did see a lot of girls, but they weren't. Yeah, I did.
But they wasn't me.
They wasn't me.
That's what
she
was about to say.
No, but I mean, it didn't bother me at the time because, you know, I didn't. You know, when you're just infatuated with someone, that's not. You know, you don't know. People come for reasons and seasons, so he could have just been for a season.
And you were so young, too.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to, you know, be booed up. So.
Okay, you think that men in the industry are just expected to cheat? Like, in retrospect, when you look back at everything that happened and, you know, the men that you dated, do you feel like, well, these are men in positions of power, all these women want them, so in order for me to feel like I could have a relationship with somebody like that, I had a discussion with my friends about this the other day. Well, like, well, guys in the industry, they just cheat, and it is what it is. You have to just accept that.
You do. At some point, and if you don't, you'd be like me and single. But my grandmother...
Damn, Michelle.
What? It's true. Okay. But my grandmother, she told me, she says, you can leave that man, but all men are going to cheat.
All men?
Well, she said there were very few that wouldn't, but they're far and few between. And she was right. They do.
What do you think the best relationship you ever been in, like, with who?
Me.
By yourself?
I'm doing fine.
You never felt like you had a guy treat you just extremely well, and maybe you dogged him out because you was, you know, feeling yourself?
Mm-mm. I think the generosity and the protectiveness was always there, but then I've learned that was controlling, but I didn't see it that way.
So now you start dating Dr. Dre, and everything is fine. He's producing your stuff, and you guys never got married.
Well, we were engaged, and I never...
Why not?
Because he wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, when you stop being Dr. Dre and be Andre, then, you know, I was serious if I was ever going to get married.
But you had a kid?
We didn't have a kid. We were together 5 years before we had a child.
5 years. So you finally had a child and still decided not to get married.
Yeah, just for what?
And then what broke y'all up? What made you turn away? What made you leave?
Same thing. Just the same. Just waiting them out, girl after girl, fighting. I'm 27. I finally put my fist down and said, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. That was one thing. It was a lot, but that was really... You get tired.
Mm-hmm. You guys used to fist fight a lot?
Well, I tried.
Mm-hmm. Right, but he's a lot bigger than you.
Oh, yeah. I was losing.
You was losing?
Yeah, safe to say.
Now, Little Mo made it wasn't funny, but a joke about
the
something.
Beats. Yeah, no, she did.
She said he started his company, Beats by Dre, was from an incident with you. Did you find that funny, or it was...
Yeah, I get it. I get
a little more funny like that.
I get her sense of humor. So coming from her, if it were coming from someone else, I probably would have took it the other way. But now I know how she thinks. things. So it wasn't a bad joke. I mean, right. It was actually quite clever. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Now we're dating. Go ahead.
But I'm sure that was difficult for you because I feel like for you, I know you first, when they asked you to do R&B Divas, you turned it down. But mm-hmm. then you said Kelly Price came and asked you
she
directly.
Called me.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you decided to do it. So it seems like it's been really therapeutic for you. You've been able to come out and talk about a lot of different things that people might not have known before. Was it difficult for you to come out and talk about your relationship with Dr. Dre and him, you know, putting his hands on you? And I know, did he break your nose or?
Yeah, he did.
He broke your nose. Was he
upset? I had five black eyes.
Five black eyes?
I have a cracked rib.
A cracked rib?
Yes. I have scars that are just amazing.
Sheesh.
Did you feel like you never wanted anybody to know that? Like, you were you embarrassed about it? Or do you think that
it was normal. And everybody that knew, it was normal.
And you never called the police one time? How did he break your nose? With his fist or through
your something? Yeah, he was a fist. He's close fist. Goodness gracious. Close fist.
And has he since, like, apologized? I know this was a long time ago, but after he saw, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have addressed it, like, okay, we never knew you were like this. Did he apologize to you and say, you know what? I was, you know, messed up back then. We were young. I made some big mistakes.
No, he haven't apologized to this day, and it wouldn't even do any good because it's the past.
Right.
I will pass that, but I do remember when he first hit me. When he first gave me my very first black eye, we laid in the bed and he cried. He was crying. I was crying because, you know, I was in shock and hurt and pain. I don't know why he was crying, but he said, you know, I'm really sorry. I think that's the only time he'd ever said he was sorry. And he said, I'll never hit you on that eye again, okay? And I was like, yeah, okay. And we fell asleep. So years later, I was talking to my friend and I joked and said, yeah, you know, he said he wasn't going to hit me in this eye ever again. So he started hitting me in that one.
He hit you in the other eye. Didn't hit me in that.
So, you know, I just, you start humoring, you have to get through the pain.
Right.
So it became, you know, Ike and Turner. I mean, we Ike and, you know, Tina. Mm-hmm. So just, it was normal.
What made you stay? Was he putting it down in bed? Was it the money? Like, what made you stay?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have to say. But what about me? I was doing my part.
Oh, there you go,
multi-platinum
artist.
Yeah,
So, you know, I mean, he was coming back. So, mm-hmm. I think
Kinky
that.
Kinky Michelle. All right, Kinky Michelle.
Well, nicety. I mean, No, but I think it was a multitude of things, though, because when you've been with somebody so mm-hmm. long, you become codependent upon them, and your self-esteem is what they've given you now.
Right. Now, how do you leave Dr. Dre and go to Dr. Dre's enemy, Suge Knight?
Well, see, they weren't quite enemies.
You've even said that Suge Knight is the one that kind of taught you a man's not supposed to put his hand.
Yeah, Suge was always the protector. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, you don't have to do that.
So
you would
that
think
happen?
You would think Suge would be the one,
yeah.
you know, from the reputation yeah. that he has. That would be really aggressive. And
but how did that happen? Because they were business partners, and then you just left Dre and went to shit. Like, they fought while they were.
Actually.
It was a time lapse.
I did not just take my shit and shake him and roll that one off and roll that one off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's hospital talk. No, actually, Dre was, I went away, and I was gone for like 2.5 months. And I came back and they said, oh, Dr. Dre's engaged. To say I had already had it out with this girl before I left. So
one of the girls he cheated on you with.
His wife of now.
His wife right. now.
But back then, that was one of the girls.
Yeah, he was sleeping with her. So I was like, come on, you know. And I mean, she was like, she knew she wanted, you know, what she wanted. Mm-hmm. It was hands down. She was the first one that came into his life when I went. Oh, God. You know, she saw the big house. She saw the cater. She was looking at our things, going, ooh. So, you know, the other girls just
so
wanted
to
be. So
she was like a friend of yours?
No, I'm saying she knew.
Was the first one there.
She knew what money okay. was, while the other girls just was happy to be sleeping with him.
Right, to be in the limelight.
Yeah, to be like, you going to do me a record? Mm-hmm. Okay, that, I, you know, but
so
this
she was
one,
out for the check.
She was out for
she
the check. I mean, she came straight for the check.
So she was out. She's with Dr. Dre for the
she
money.
She came straight for the check. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I just went, listen, if he can't see it, I'm not staying around to help him out.
Right.
You know, you just get tired. And so at that point, it was another couple of years before me and Suge could be here and become my confidant.
But it wasn't Suge. But at that time, him and Suge were not effing with each other, right?
No. That's what I'm trying to tell
you. So they were
you.
Beefing.
They weren't beefing.
Oh.
She said she had no idea that they didn't get along.
I didn't know because Dre didn't have an issue with Suge. Suge had an issue with Dre. Mm-hmm.
But he kept it quiet.
In the beginning. Mm-hmm.
Did you tell Dr. Dre before you started dating Suge or no?
For what? He didn't tell
he's
me.
Engaged.
He had a big old ring on her finger. He didn't call me.
Okay. Just asking.
I don't think why you guys think it's so unfair. He slept with I mean, every woman that came through our house. And the minute I, just because he knew this guy, I'm the bad guy.
No, you know what it is? It's just, we see it as Dr. Dre and Suge Knight are enemies. So you when do. We hear, when you come and you say you had, you know, a relationship with Dre and Suge, it's like, woo, that was his enemy. That's the way to get back. You know?
So you think I did it to get back or even?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
No.
No?
No. But if I did and it hurt.
Good.
That's life.
I guess we're even.
But you did end up marrying Suge Knight. That, so.
Oh, I fake married Suge
Knight. Oh, you fake married.
What was a fake marriage?
When he's already married to somebody else and don't tell you.
You are so, listen, there was a lot going on back then. There was all kind of scandals you were in.
Damn it.
Well, I was naive.
Did you go, yeah. did you have a ceremony and everything?
Yeah, well, jail one. He was in prison. Oh, he was...
So he was in jail for six
I didn't
eight years.
Know, okay? And then the judge told me when I had to go get a real divorce, he said, well, did you see a man in a black robe? I said, no, it wasn't black. He said, well, then you're not married.
So, but you were, he was in jail 6 of the 8 years that you guys were together.
Yeah. He was actually 6.5 years, so it was a great marriage because I didn't see him often.
Right, and he wasn't cheating on you in jail.
Well, yes, he was. Oh, I had my day, and then...
Wait, who are you cheating on you in jail? Who?
Is it... well, other women coming to visit.
Yeah, you know how I... Oh, you probably never been there.
You made it seem like he was cheating on you in jail with other people in jail.
Oh, no, 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 right. Don't start that rumor. I didn't say that. No, no, it was... Okay, I had one day, another girl had one day, another girl had one day, and another girl had
none of the CEOs was snitching? Because I know they do that in jail. Well, when you come to visit, they'd be like, you know another girl was
snitching. Well, they would try to hold me up so that I could pass her in the passing, but I had detail, so detail was smarter than they were.
Were you ever scared of Suge?
I feared him.
So why would you marry him or be with him? Because it seemed like the world feared him.
Well, because at the time I didn't see all that. I always saw his good side. Suge was, you don't need to do that. You're a good girl. Stay here. Stay focused. Do this. Do that. He didn't drink and smoke at that time. Champagne was the most I'd ever seen him do.
Are you fearful of him now? You scared of him now?
Absolutely not.
Is because he's in jail?
I wasn't scared of him when he got out. I talk to him now like he talked to me. Mm-hmm. It took me many years to get to that point.
What are things that people don't know about Suge that they should know? Because when they see Suge, they see this big guy that's scary. He's almost like the big Debo. They look at Suge as the devil.
And sometimes, but
he said, and sometimes.
You know, but you know what? But there's a good side and a bad side to all of us. We all have it in us. He's like an animal. The best way to describe him is he has animal instinct.
What kind of animal? Is it lions or animals?
Like, people got in trouble for that with Michelle Obama. We gotta be careful.
What kind of animal? Is hound dogs?
Well, what I'm saying, some poodles do attack before they think, and then they come back and lick your wound. Mm-hmm. And that's how he is. Like, he'll attack you without, and then he'll come back and, you know what, man? And then he'll explain it.
That's like abusive, though. That's what they say.
Yeah, but he doesn't know any other way to interact with you. Like, if you bumped into him, he doesn't know how to just go, hey, you know, he like he'll grab your shoulder and go, man, did you see what you know he's already there, as opposed to just going, oh, okay, man,
he's already on level 10.
He already goes there, but then he comes back down and go, yeah, man, you know, you just can't be doing that. Mm-hmm. And then he starts giving you all this great words, you know, which is what he should have done first.
So what's the craziest thing Suge has done with you? Don't say nothing, no killing nobody. We don't want nobody to go to jail. But the craziest thing besides
he clearly didn't kill her.
Allegedly manslaughter, murder that he's done.
To me?
No, just around, when you was around. It's the craziest thing you've seen.
Well, that's just it. I didn't get to see all that. Okay. It was always rumored that I heard it, you know? I think one of the craziest things he did was when he tried to hit me. He only tried one time. And he was so strong that he open hand slapped me. And threw my whole jaw I had to go into emergency.
He did hit you.
Yes.
He smacked your jaw out of line?
Yeah. Wow. Backhand with a backhand. And he's so strong that it just, all this just was over here. And it wouldn't go back. So I finally had to call him and say, you know, you're going to have to come and take me to emergency.
Well, so he does that to you. And then he has to take you to the emergency.
Well, it was either that or the police were going to take
me. Or the ambulance.
Yeah. So he got there quick. He was on time.
That was you not wanting to snitch on somebody, boy. You just did this to me, but I don't want to call the cops on you because
you don't
I know
call
you're
the cops on Kaza Sose or me on Suge.
But she didn't want to call the ambulance because then she's going to have to do a police report
and all
that.
Right, you had to do all that. Even when I got to the hospital and they said, what happened? I said, I got hit by football. 2 o'clock in the morning.
I always see online that you got hit by a football, that you were playing football with one of your friends, hit you in the face.
And then, but that's not, she knew it wasn't true, and so she waited. So once they drugged me to sedate me, she was talking. She says, I know you didn't get hit by a football, because you can tell me what it is. And it was funny because he wouldn't leave the room. They kept telling him. He was standing there like this. And all I was like going in and out going,
That's what
I know. You know, do you watch Empire?
Yeah, sometimes.
If you saw the season finale, good thing they didn't give you no Ambien. You'd have been telling everything.
They're telling everything.
Yeah, because I would have told her had I not
was
caught
he
a glimpse.
Standing right there.
Yeah, he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave out of the room.
But I think Suge's needed in L.A. I think Suge's needed. I think he keeps a lot of the suckers.
What?
And people, nah, because Suge is, he's a Debo. So he will, I think that every great city needs a Debo, meaning somebody that basically protects the land. Like if you go to Detroit, it's Trick Trick. If you go to LA, it's Suge. If you go to the people that just make sure everything's good, because a lot of times, I know Suge does a lot for the community. Like they talk about sometimes he gives back to the kids. You've seen that side of him, but people
That's
don't see that
side.
That's
the side of him. I saw.
Right.
Yeah, I saw him saving houses for the homeboys and mothers who was in foreclosure. Calling him at 4 a.m. going, I need this. Can you help me out? Him getting out of his bed and going to help people with their problems. He had nothing to do with it. So I used to think that was endearing, to take on other people's problems. Although, and now I learned later that, you know, if he do you one favor, you owe him 5.
Right.
So
that's it. Life. Let me ask you this. After you date Suge and whatever, have your fake marriage, how can you date anybody after that? Or is it people are too scared to date you?
Of course I think guys are scared to date me.
Hell no. How old's your daughter?
12.
You can't. What do you tell Suge's daughter? Go do your homework? I tell my daddy. You're right. You'll tell your daddy. I'm not messing with you. I didn't raise her like that.
She's not raised like that. She's Bailey.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that it's, you know, your relationship with him is different. I'm sure now you can do whatever you want. I mean, you even went on a date, you know, on R&B Divas, and now you said you're not dating anymore after that.
I'm good.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I'm good.
Do you still get money from, your son is older now, so you don't get any?
No.
Did you get a lot of money from Dr. Dre? Did he take care of his kids the right way or no?
I had to take him to court, but yeah.
He finally did?
Of course.
Did he see his son or was it just monetary?
Well, my mom and my grandma died. He came into my son's life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was cool. And I'm grateful that they have a great relationship.
That's
so
good.
Yeah, that's what's important.
Right, and you said you're not going to have either one of the kids on the show because both of their dads don't want them.
Well, they did, and so what ended up happening was Bailey is on one scene at Chrisette's house because she wanted, she begged, and I have full custody of her. So me and Suge were arguing for months about it, and I just said, you know what, she loves Chrisette. She calls her Super Chris, and we were wearing wings, and she loves, you know,
right.
It was fun. So I thought, what harm could it be? And I really would want to see what he would do if I defied him, you know, and I did. And I was like, wow. And he didn't call and say anything. So I was like.
He seems serious about his kids, too.
Oh, he's very. That's the one thing I say. He stalks me to be a part of her life.
That's dope.
Great. And Chrisette Michelle is no longer on the show. And I know that was a really good friend of yours. But you guys stay in touch because I know some of the other people said they haven't spoken to her.
Yeah, we stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. And are you thinking about getting a life coach or anything like that? Have you thought about that since she went
therapy out? Is really good. So I'm kind of sticking with therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a life coach I may graduate to.
Right.
But right now I just got to, you know, focus and, you know, figure out. Like, life to me is not about where you are. Sometimes you have to go back and understand why you are the way you are. And I never thought that was true. But then when they connect the dots for you, you go, I would have never saw that. You know, why did I date the same kind of man? And, you know, and you look for the same kind of, and, you know, you attract the same kind. It's not them, it's you, first of all. So they teach you just a lot. And a lot of it comes from you being a child in your household and what you see that you've put in your subconscious.
Now, people always talk about Suge Knight being involved with the murder of Biggie or the murder of Tupac. Now, you were around him during those times, right?
He was in prison.
Oh, he was in prison. So do you think that he could have possibly been involved with any of that?
My honest opinion is I think he took the credit. Oh, I'm sorry. I just think he took the credit. I mean, it just, I don't, there was no signs to me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
My wife's nowhere near Suge. If she was, I'd have left a long time ago because I'm scared.
You can't be scared now. He's an old man. I'm not scared of him.
Did you see the video of Suge allegedly running over dude? I am still scared. I don't mess with him.
Well, he allegedly ran. Well, he was.
He did run him over.
I seen that part. He did run him over.
We don't know the reason behind it. Reason. I don't know if he was trying to flee or.
He was like trying to flee. In danger. Yeah. The guy was hitting him through the window. So he was. And then when Suge was trying to open the door, he was keep trying to push the door. So he just said, okay, and took him back to check up. But, the rapture mirror is so big that it. You know, so.
But you also are working on a book.
Yes.
Let's talk about this book. What's in this book?
My life. It's about me. Mm-hmm.
Your life and everything, your relationships and what you've conquered and all it, or everything.
Do you feel like the book is also part of your therapy? Just to get
absolutely
things out from the beginning. So you're going to start at the beginning of your life.
I'm going to be like, I'm going to be like Jesus. You know, the first 18 years, y'all going to lose. Let it go. Just let it go. Let's start from the good part.
The good part. Okay.
Yeah, you guys are coming out. I do want to tell a story about my mom and my dad so that people understand why I'm so not connected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So why I didn't see what may look wrong to other people didn't affect me.
Right.
So your dad was abusive towards your mom?
No.
Oh.
They were never together.
Oh, they were never together. Okay.
Yes, I was born out of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like my daughter.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, so they were never together. And then, so you feel like you don't have a connection with them.
Well, they weren't parents that were affectionate. Mm-hmm. And they didn't tell me they loved me. They don't say it.
Right.
What about your voice? They had to joke you a lot in school, did they?
No, I was quiet.
Really? So you didn't really talk.
And I was a good student, so I didn't have to worry.
Not at all.
Yeah, I stayed in my lane.
And you were business-wise, would you say you were pretty good business-wise? Because I know they always say, you know, with you and when you were with Suge, you did a lot of stuff behind the scenes for the company.
I tried, and then he would destroy it. Mm-hmm. So.
Like, what kind of things were you doing?
Well, one thing I can say I told him to do, I said, why don't you just shut Defro down and grass and Graceland it, you know, like Elvis's estate, and just make it so hard to get that it would be worth, the memorabilia would be worth so much.
That would be smart, yeah.
Right? He didn't do it. I was like, please. And then he came to me many years later and said, you were right.
That would have been a great idea.
The catalog alone.
Yeah, just the catalog alone.
I don't think
alone.
He owns any of that anymore.
Nothing. Mm. I mean, the memorabilia alone would have been still
worth a fortune.
A fortune. Right. So he wouldn't listen to me. So I said, you know what? Let me leave this alone because you're going to come out broke. Mm. Ooh, that must have been me and my Miss Cleo day.
What made you finally decide to leave him after you know, holding it down while he was locked up for 6.5 years, having a child together? You know, thinking you were married, watching all these women come in and out. Why did you finally say, okay, I'm done?
Real short story. Had a mistress, but he told me a different story about her, and I had seen her back when we were friends. Mm-hmm. So I believed that she was just his homeboy's friend, you know, girlfriend.
Right.
And he was just taking care of her and her son because he had got life in prison.
Right, so it's the code of the guys, like, I'm going to take care of your family.
Yeah, and I thought that was endearing to me. Mm-hmm. I thought, that is so sweet. That's how dumb I was. That is so sweet. And come to find out, around 96, about 95, going to 96, I found out she was the main mistress for many, many, many years. Yeesh. And then once she got pregnant, a year and a half after I had my daughter, I said, that's it.
Right, I can't.
Wow. Oh, that was it. Because I felt like a complete fool. Mm-hmm. That's when it really.
And you probably welcomed this woman into
the
house.
Well, no, but I mean, look what I did. I gave up everything. I lost friends. I lost, you know. And here, you know, I just thought that was.
So your friends were telling you, leave this man alone. You got to get away. And you had to
Well, I had no friends. I couldn't have any male friends. He didn't like my girlfriend of all the years. So I was reclusive, and I was the princess in a castle. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. Well, we appreciate you joining us and sharing your story.
Yeah.
When is the book coming out? How far along are you?
Oh, it should come out this year, actually. This year. But I'm doing made for TV movie, mm-hmm. So that's gonna be interesting.
Does Suge own any of the book? Anything? I'm just asking.
Why?
Yeah, all you care about is Suge.
No, I'm just asking because you know, like 50 Cent's baby mom is 50 owns a part of anything that she puts out. So I was just asking if that was the same.
No, he's not getting any.
So what's the made for TV movie? Is based on your life?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes, because it's just so funny. It's almost like you guys are going to go.
It's going to be hard to find somebody to play you in your voice the whole show.
It's going
to
be hard.
That's going to be difficult. You know what? When I looked up your voice, I forgot how your voice was. And I was like, wow. Like, it's so different. It's so different than anything.
Distinctive, we like to say.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what about the Straight Outta Compton movie? Have they contacted you yet?
No, I was told I wasn't in it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So I can't wait to see that, too. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. They should have at least talked to you, though, because I'm sure you had a lot of information. You know,
I was there when it was starting.
And you were the only woman that was on Ruthless Records. You were, you know, I don't understand why they wouldn't put you.
Well, that's their story, and I have mine. So
right. Okay.
That's the best way to put that.
Right. So, that should be interesting. I can't wait. I'm going to read the book, too, and everything. So
well, Michelle, that's how you pronounce it, right, Michelle?
Michelle,
we appreciate you joining us this morning. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. And you're not from Compton. You're from?
I'm from South Central.
South Central.
All right. Yeah. South Central in this motherfucker. It's the Breakfast Club.
What was that?
I just try to be hard because you're South Central. I don't know. It's the Breakfast Club, Michelle.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Everyone in our country has a voice. It's something that says not just where you come from, but who you are. Welcome to NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of podcasts and a celebration of the hosts in journalism who've always spoken truth to power. Our voices are as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, and stories should never be about us without us. Find NPR Black Stories, Black Truths on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.